I was growing up, Christmas was a time of magic, a time of wonderment. And the weeks leading up to Christmas and then Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day were exciting days. During the weeks of Advent and in the season, the Sundays prior to Christmas, there was a time of preparation. We were getting ready. We were getting ready for the celebration. We were getting ready. We were going shopping, finding presents, wrapping presents, putting them under the tree, wondering what was in the presents, trying to find out what was in the presents, shaking the presents, squeezing the presents. All those things that we did were excitement, the building excitement about Christmas. Meanwhile, Mother's baking. She's baking cookies, she's baking cakes, she's baking pies, she's making sand tarts and oatmeal chocolate chip Krispies and Christmas cookies with the little cutters, and then I had to help her decorate them. I always made a mess of it. All those things that we had to do, and I was so excited. A pound cake was my favorite thing in terms of cakes that my mother would make, and she'd make apple pies and pecan pies, and it was just wonderful, wonderful, all the smells and the wonderful food. Unfortunately, I couldn't eat most of it because most of it was presents. Mom was baking it to give it away. Give it away? Are you crazy, Mom? Well, yes. Let me be the taster. Mother, these are terrible. Let me get rid of them for you here. No, she knew better than that. Yeah, she was baking the cookies and the cakes and the pies and the breads to give them away. What a horrible thing to do with cookies. It was a time of excitement, a time of wonderment. I can remember we would come up on Christmas Eve, and I'd wake up Christmas Eve morning, and it would be exciting, and there'd be all sorts of wonderful things going on. We'd be wondering what's going to be happening, what's going to happen throughout the day. Mother would be madly trying to bake and trying to cook at the same time as she's trying to wrap like crazy. Dad would do the bows, and he did them very well. Mom would be rapping. She did that very well. They would do this in almost like assembly line basis. And present, 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 present. And it was always exciting to see these presents as they were coming in during Christmas Eve. A regular flow of presents. Then we'd have sandwiches for dinner. And then we'd all pack into the car and go to church. And we'd sit in the sanctuary, and it would be a mystical feeling. You got all these extra candles and all this extra music, this beautiful red poinsettia flowers, and all these people that you don't normally see on Sunday. And it was always great and exciting and fun because it was mysterious. It was, in a sense, magical. And then we go home, and when we get home, and we'd have a mother would let us eat a little bit of that which she had baked, and then in excitement, and then we'd turn on television and watch Harold Taft there tell us that Santa's sleigh and reindeer had been spotted coming down across Canada, and NORAD had sent out an all points bulletin for the kids to start getting ready for bed, and so we'd have to go to bed. And you know how hard that was? You know. Those of you who are little, and some of you who are little at heart, know it now, how exciting it can be that night before. And then once we'd get to bed and get to sleep, sure enough, you'd hear noises out in the living room. And when you want to find out what it was, of course, it just so happened your parent would be coming back down the hall. I mean, come on. Oh, and so finally we'd fall asleep. Finally we'd lay our heads down for the last time. I'd hear my brother all, you know, upset and doing stuff in his room, but I'd finally fall asleep and wake up usually with my brother jumping up and down on my bed. It's Christmas morning, it's Christmas morning. And I would be so excited. We'd hop out of bed and go running into Mom and Dad's room and jump up and down on their bed. It's Christmas morning, it's Christmas morning. Go back to bed. It's not Christmas morning yet. But it is. Do you see light outside? No. Is it 6 o'clock yet? No. Back to bed. Why are you so interested in getting up now when normally we're having to pull you out of bed with a forklift anytime before 10 o'clock? So we go back to bed. And finally we get up, and it's obvious that we were going to be getting up, but we had to wait. We had to wait. Mother would be in the hallway, bathroom door closed. We'd had to wait. The doorway from the hallway into the living room would be closed. But we had to wait, kind of like Advent. We had to wait. And the light from the Christmas tree would be coming through, shining through the vent in the bottom quarter of the door, twinkling with excitement. And I would get down on my hands and knees and crawl up and look through the vent. And Chuck would say, "Can you see anything?" "No, I can see the Christmas tree." "Can you see if there are any presents there?" "I can see the Christmas tree. I can't really make anything out, though." I found out later we were waiting for Mom's coffee to get finished. Finally, after waiting and looking and being so excited I couldn't stand it, they would finally come and open the door. And lights would come on as Dad would turn on the motion picture camera. And we'd go running into that living room and stumble to a stop in amazement at all of the wonderful loot around the tree. The bikes, the little carts that you'd get in and you pedal, the teddy bears, the race tracks, the train sets, the clothes that were laid out. I didn't care much about that. All the other stuff, all that wonderful stuff. Wanted to try out my bike immediately. "No, it's too cold. Can't go out." "No. Bundle up. Here, open the clothes first, and then, yeah." Then the tearing of the paper would begin. As we would tear into the packages, and Dad would play Santa, and he'd pass out packages, one to each of us, and we'd sit there on the floor and just tear into the all that wonderful hard work that had been done by Mom and Dad to wrap those presents, suddenly demolished in seconds into a pile of paper and undone ribbon. Wow. The boxes, the paper, the ribbon, in piles all over the living room. You can't get out. You need to send out rescue parties to try to search and rescue parties to try to deliver you from the mess of the paper in the boxes. We'd built ourselves into these little areas, and we'd gather in our toys and our gifts around us, and it would be so exciting, so amazing. That's Christmas. In my childhood memory, the excitement of that day, the excitement of receiving those wonderful gifts that as an adult I know were expressions of my parents' love for me. That wonderful experience of lavish, overabundant, prodigious love poured out upon us. That overabundant, prodigious love is the message of Christmas. The overabundant, prodigious love of God poured out for all world in searching need and hope and prayer. In searching need and hoping desire, in searching need and hoping longing for a Savior, for a deliverer who would come to set us free. That is this child. That is this baby Jesus. This Yeshua in Hebrew, this the Lord delivers, this Son of God, this God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus of Nazareth. He, this little baby, he, this little one, he is the source of our excitement. For he is the prodigious love of God poured out for us all. He comes to deliver us from not just our sins and not just from death, but from ourselves, from our own stumblings and our own stupidities, our own warring ways, our own fights and disagreements, our own self-centeredness, our own self-focus. He comes to deliver us. The prodigious love of God in Jesus Christ comes to deliver us and set us free. This is the child about whom the angels sang. This is the child that the angels came and told the shepherds to go see. This babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feeding trough. That's what a manger is. A feeding trough. And in ancient Israel, it was a feeding trough made not out of wood, but out of stone. And the top of that stone was carved to make a place where they could put the grain or the water, if it was for watering the animals. And they would make this dipping hole in it. And the Mary and Joseph in the stable took one of those. And they wrapped baby Jesus in swaddling clothes and tight bands of cloth. And they laid him, this prodigious gift of God, this prodigious expression of God's love, this overwhelming, overabundant expression of the love of the Creator for the creation, this universe, this baby Jesus, this child, and they laid him in a feeding trough. And this baby and his love and his forgiveness, this baby and his self-giving grace, this baby would give himself to feed the world, give himself to deliver the world, give himself to save the world, you and me, and everyone who has lived before us and everyone who is still to come. God gave this baby his very self to us, to deliver, to nourish, to feed, to save us all. This is the excitement. Family, friends, yes. Food, absolutely. Fellowship, yes. But here, the faithful wonder of the gift of hope, joy, peace, and love in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the excitement that rivets me today. With the same wonder, the same excitement that I was riveted as a child looking forward to those presents, I look forward to the coming of Christ anew for us all. My brothers and sisters, today and tomorrow as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, today and tomorrow as we celebrate his coming in Bethlehem of Judea over 2,000 years ago, today and tomorrow as we celebrate his coming, the gift of the prodigious love of God for the whole world, today and tomorrow as we celebrate the birth of that baby, let us celebrate the love of God for each other and for us, and let us share that love with all whom we meet. Let us say Merry Christmas. Let us say God loves you. And let us share that love with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another with the prayer as printed in your bulletins. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the giver of life, love, joy, and peace. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, master of all that was and is to come. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. You formed us from the elements of eternity. Speaking your word of grace, you created and breathed into us life, giving us your very image and calling us into a relationship with each other and with you. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you for this glorious night in which we remember and celebrate the incarnation and birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. His coming was foretold by the Hebrew prophets, announced by the Archangel Gabriel, and humbly accepted by Mary and Joseph. Christ was conceived by faith, accepted by faith, recognized by faith, and proclaimed by faith. Shepherds were drawn to the site of his birth in Bethlehem of Judea, and the heavenly host of angels sang of his glory. We join their songs of praise this night, opening our hearts and mouths to proclaim, Christ is born anew in us. Christ is born anew. For on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts, O Father, we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. If those who are assisting would come forward at this time.
And Merry Christmas.